Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I love spending time with my daddy.
I know what love is.
I must first teach you.
You're my young, and I love you more than anything or anybody in the whole world.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, dads don't always talk about it, but the reality is there isn't a father alive who doesn't have hopes and dreams for his children. We want them to grow up safe and successful. We long for them to be happy and fulfilled. And if we really were honest with ourselves, well, we probably wouldn't mind if they gave us a couple of grandkids also. Well, while all of those hopes are noble and worthy, there's one that outpaces them all in terms of importance. And that's a father's knowledge that all of his children are in a right relationship with the Lord. And during the next half hour, I want to talk with you about seeing your heart for God reflected in the eyes of your kids. So stay right here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, fathers who show unconditional love and provide structure will see some positive results. Our guest today is David Delk. He's the president of Man in the Mirror Ministries. He is the author, along with Patrick Morley, of The Dad in the Mirror, and it's a great book. I've just finished this book, and it has really helped me personally in many, many ways. David, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Jim.
You know, I have to tell you right at the beginning, you guys wrote about fathering by performance versus fathering with the heart, and that was really good. I think a lot of times us dads work on the behavior of our kids, and we sort of miss the heart. Do you see that as well?
You know, it's really easy to do that, of course, right? Because in our culture, the thing that we're seeing our kids' behavior. We're seeing whether they're being respectful or, you know, when it starts out with sharing toys when they're, you know, toddlers, all the way up to good grades and all those kinds of things when they're in high school. And yet, the scriptures are so clear that what we do and how we behave is a consequence of what's going on in our hearts. And so in this book, we really try to demonstrate that distinction between fathering for performance and fathering the hearts of our children to love God and others.
And I think sometimes it's harder for a dad to go to the heart than it is for a mom. A mom seems to be able to nurture a little bit easier and take care of those kinds of issues, whereas dads sometimes have the list and want to work through the list.
Well, certainly, and we're very task-oriented, and Pat loves to say, we just need to remember that the relationship is the task.
Yeah,
and when it comes to our kids, you know, just going beyond what they're doing to why they're doing it. And a lot of times, they don't even understand this. We need to sort of open up those doors and allow the Holy Spirit to use us to help our kids think about some of these deeper things that are going on in their hearts and minds.
Well, that is a great thought and a great comment. In your book, you talk about kids who don't get both unconditional love and structure end up with what you called an affirmation deficit. And it seems like an affirming father really does make sure that their children feel unconditional love. But a lot of times kids are telling me, and I used to be a youth pastor, and they would say, you know what, I don't feel affirmed or encouraged by my dad. Do you see that happening?
Oh, definitely. One survey a number of years ago now, but it's, I think would still be true today, showed that 85% of teenagers in high school said that they were either depressed or severely discouraged in the last 12 months. And, you know, this is a time that's so difficult for them. They're trying to figure out who they are, if they're okay, you know, are people going to like them? What are they going to do with their life? I mean, it's such a time of turmoil and upheaval. And that's a time when they need us as parents to provide that unconditional love, that acceptance, that, hey, we're here for you. We believe in you. You're special to us. You're special to God. That has to be that foundation that the relationship's built on.
Well, you know, it seems so true. And, you know, I was speaking a couple years ago at a Promise Keepers event. In fact, now that I think about it, it was in Orlando where we're talking to you from. And I gave an illustration about Ted Turner. He had just been on the cover of a major magazine, Forbes or something like this. And he had been the Forbes, you know, business person of the year or something. He spoke at a banquet in Atlanta. They'd made a bust of his face. And he lifted the bust up toward heaven where he was now going to be talking to his dad who had passed on. And he said, Dad, are you now proud of me? Hmm. And I thought, boy, that had so much impact. Well, when I shared that with all these men in the arena wherever the Orlando Magic plays, you know, there was exactly what you did. They kind of went, oh. And what I sensed was that there were a lot of men who, although that was an incredibly articulate situation that this man said, that Ted Turner said, it really was the cry of a lot of men. They want their father's approval, don't they?
Well, it's so powerful in shaping our sense of ourselves. You know, and so many children grow up with this vague sense of shame.
Yeah.
And when we carry that into adulthood, you know, you either overperform and try to make sure that you do everything perfectly so that no one can say you're inadequate, or you see guys and you know adult men and women like this who are always just kind of a little bit discouraged. They're always just a little off. And often that's because they have this incredibly deep-seated sense that they're not good enough and that they're not valuable.
Right, and so often then that plays out in their other relationships, their relationship with their own. It kind of passes on to the next generation, their relationship with their Heavenly Father. You make a comment in your book that says, fathering means both I love you and you can't have your own way. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, this is a great point that's so important because sometimes, particularly I think in our culture today, that love is equated with permissiveness, and we make it clear in this chapter in the book that it's not, we're not talking about being a permissive father, that really it needs to be both I love you and you can't have your own way. That's authentic parenting, authentic fathering, where we provide that structure. You can't have your own way. There are boundaries here, and we have to learn to live under Christ's lordship, not our own desires, because we're ultimately be a disaster if we just go our own way. But also, I love you, and I'm going to affirm you, and I'm going to provide this comfortable, safe acceptance that you need to grow and become everything God wants you to be.
We're talking with David Delk. The book is called The Dad in the Mirror. David is the president of Man in the Mirror Ministries. And as we deal with the whole issue of being permissive as well as holding structure, I found that very hard. I know there are times when I have three daughters and I'll discipline one of them in terms of an action or whatever, and I really want them to like me. Well, at this point, they don't like me. I was probably right and yet in doing it, but at the same time, they just don't like me. That's hard for me. What do you say to the dad who wants to be liked by their kids all the time?
Well, I think it is hard, and especially in, think about, you know, the family situations we have in our culture today, single parents, mm-hmm. blended families, just all the turmoil that's out there, and guys and moms are living in some very difficult situations. It is hard because you do want to be liked, you want to be, and sometimes there's even a competition involved, but at the end of the day, we have to remember what our goal is. And that's one of the things that we talk about in this book is that, you know, there are lots of ways you could talk about the goal of being a dad. But we believe that when we get back to our roots and see what God says in the Bible, that goal is to disciple our children to love God and to love others from the heart.
Well, that's really, really well said. You talk about fathering the heart means being a daily dad. What do you mean by that?
Well, we can get our children to perform by kind of being like the great eagle that sits up on the branch way up there in the trees. And, you know, we see something going on with our kids somewhere or whatever, and we swoop down and scream and yell a little bit or maybe swat somebody and set everything right. And then we go flying off to our tree again. And if you do that, you know, you can get children to behave. You can get children to, you know, like we talked about, get good grades or get a haircut or whatever the issue is. But if you really want to help shape your children's view of the world, if you really want to understand what are they looking to for happiness, if you really want to think about, you know, what are my children worshiping in the fullest sense of that word, you know, what are they looking to for value and meaning and purpose and joy, that means we have to actually be involved with them on a daily basis. We have to interact with them, understand their desires, their frustrations, their fears, and that just takes time and commitment.
Are you positive about where dads are today, or are you nervous?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a time of opportunity because there's an incredible conflict going on, I think, and it's a weird dichotomy. Dads, I think, are more interested and more concerned about being a good dad than perhaps they've ever been. But I think at the same time, there's a lot of tension and frustration over what that actually looks like, because it's almost as if we're trying to play a game where we don't know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much guys hate that.
Exactly.
And so a lot of dads are, you know, they're trying to have this wonderful career, you know, have their leisure activities, and we got all those options out there, and friendships, and then be a great dad, have a great marriage. And at the end of the day, they're wondering, I don't know how to make all this happen. And so that's one of the things we tried to clarify in this book. We said, you know, a lot of times it's not so much that you have to do a whole lot of additional or different things. It's more that we do what we're already doing with a different perspective and a different set of priorities.
That's great insight from David Delk today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Seeing your heart for God reflected in your kids is our theme. As you hear David talking about Man in the Mirror Ministries and the landmark book that he wrote with Patrick Morley, and Dr. Jim Burns having this conversation, digging back into the archives today for a program from a couple of years ago. And Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. I think about what David was talking about in terms of doing a better job of things we're already doing. I think about the professional boxer who attributes his education at Azusa Pacific to transforming his life, or the two young businessmen who are providing opportunity and hope to people in Zambia. They're just two examples of what APU is doing in the culture. And you can view some short films about these and other APU alumni when you go to apu.edu/stories, and you get a chance to see how this plays out, kind of play this the movie out of our lives. And we've reached the midpoint of today's edition of the program. More in just a moment as Homeward with Dr. Jim Burns continues.
There is no magic formula for raising kids who will become happy, healthy, responsible adults. The key to building healthy morals and values into their lives is to teach them the value of making the decision to follow Christ every single day. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. It's no secret that we're living in a culture that views all truth as relative and experiential. That's why it's more important now than ever before that our kids understand that being a Christ follower is a decision they must make every day. Now, obviously, the objective is for them to reach the point where that decision has become such a part of who they are that they don't even have to give it a second thought. But as long as they're under our daily care and direction, make sure you're encouraging your kids to decide to follow God daily by modeling that kind of behavior yourself. I've developed an acrostic to help you do a better job of equipping your kids with healthy morals and values. You'll find it on my tip sheet called The Power of Daily, and you can download a free copy when you go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about seeing your heart for God in the eyes of your kids. We're with David Delk. He's the president of Man in the Mirror Ministries, co-author of the book, The Dad in the Mirror with Patrick Morley, a great book for dads. It's a book that I really appreciate. And one of the things that really hit me the most, David, was some specific steps that you talk about to give your kids wings of independence and yet roots of security. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, you know, Pat has this great story in the book, and I'll abbreviate it here, but he tells a story about some young kids that were using his house as a cut-through between streets. And it caused his dogs to bark loudly and go into all this rampage in the house and, you know, it interrupted his work. He has a home office there. And so it happened day after day after day. And finally he said, you know, I've just got to put a stop to this. They really shouldn't be doing this. And so he went and he saw them coming. And so he went downstairs and he started talking to them. And they were young boys. And the younger one began to cry. And Pat said, you know, you don't need to do that. I'm just going to talk to you and everything will be okay. And he explained to them that this was private property and that they could walk around on the street, that they didn't need to cut through his house, that it caused his dogs to go crazy, and, you know, gave him the whole story. Well, a few days later, he's sitting in his office, and all of a sudden the dogs go crazy again, and he looks out, and he catches a glimpse of the boys running through the property there. And so another couple days goes by. He goes down, and he sees the boys again, and he catches them, and he talks to them. He says, what are y'all doing? You know, I had this conversation with you. I told you you couldn't do this. Well, the older boy said, I talked to my mother and father, and they said we have to be home by a certain time and that we can walk through your yard. And the point that Pat brings out of this story is, with some other humorous things as well, but the point is, think about that boy and the preparation that he has for life, where he has a mother and father who would leave him to interact with a grown man,
right,
defying this grown man, defying his property rights, you know, and yet the parents are just sending him out in the world, not prepared for life.
Right.
And so many of our children, the same thing is happening. They're trying to make their own way. They're trying to figure out how the world works. And basically, they're just falling, plummeting to the ground, waiting to shatter. So in this book, we talk about this this idea of roots of security, where we give our children some concrete training in life about, you know, just the practical things of, you know, mentoring them with money and work and finances and all those sorts of things. And then also giving them some wings where we can allow them to take some risks, take some chances. Don't always be saying, oh, that'll never work. One of my favorite stories is the lemonade stand, you know, with my kids. They always want to do these lemonade stands, and here I'm thinking it's going to be a mess, and, you know, you got, by the time they get down there, you got $10 into it, and you know they're going to get three quarters out, you know, in the next 2 hours. Let them do the lemonade stand. Let them take some chances. Everything doesn't have to be done exactly the way that you would do it.
And really, that is about mentoring, and there is a major mentoring factor in being an effective father, isn't there?
Well, there really is. You know, Pat used to race motorcycles when he was young, and he compares this to the situation of a competitor of his that won quite a few races. He and his dad would come, they'd set up the tent, they'd open up the back of the trailer, they had all the equipment. His dad was there working on his bike, you know, scouting the course. Meanwhile, Pat's there all by himself, you know, all alone. And the comparison is, you know, this boy had someone to prepare him for what was ahead. And the same thing is true in life. We need to prepare our daughters, we need to prepare our sons for the choices and the things that they're going to face. So not just so that they can survive, not just so that they can live some kind of mediocre, you know, suburban American happy life, but we really want to raise up a generation of men and women who are willing to do anything that God would call them to do for the glory of his kingdom.
No, that is so true. I have a phrase in my office that says, one of the purposes of the church is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. And I'm not sure we've done as good a job in the church of training parents to take on the role of mentoring their children. Would you agree with that?
I would agree wholeheartedly, because, and I don't think it's necessarily on purpose,
right,
but I think this whole performance orientation is so prevalent today because, you know, how do you succeed in the church if you're a young person? Well, you look good, you dress good, you go to the classes, you learn the verses, you know, you serve on the committees, you help out on the youth Sunday, you go on the trips, you sing in the choirs, whatever. It's all about the things that you are doing. And none of those things are bad, but if our children are just doing them so that they can fit in or so that they can look good or so they gain acceptance, then it's not really something that's coming from their hearts that they're really owning. And I think what we need to do in the church is help our parents understand that we need to help our children go beyond performance to really loving God from the heart.
That is so critical. In your book, you talk about the difference between snake lessons and dove lessons.
Yeah, this is a great section, one of my favorite sections in the book, because, you know, Jesus says this about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and you really need both of those things in your life if you're really going to have the kind of impact in the world that God wants you to have. And so we talk about some of the snake lessons in this book where we want our kids to be wise in the ways of the world, where they can thrive. They have a practical education about the world. And we go into some of the things from the book of Proverbs about how to get along with people and, you know, looking people in the eye when you say hello and shaking their hands with a firm handshake and just all the things that help you accomplish whatever God's calling you to do in this world. At the same time, we need dove lessons. We need to be people who understand that it's not about us. It's not about getting our way. The innocence, I think, in that passage comes from the standpoint of being willing to say, I don't have to be the one who wins here. You know, if you have just the snake lessons, all that does is teach you mm-hmm. how to manipulate and get your way in life.
Right.
And we see a lot of that in the culture today. The dove lessons are the ones that say, it's not all about me. It's really about Christ and his kingdom and his glory. And I want to do whatever I can to lift his name up in my life.
Well, that's really good. David, what do you see as really one of the primary roles of, say, a father in today's society?
Well, I think that the number one thing that dads can do is to really pass on this this story of faith in Jesus Christ, of a relationship with Christ that comes from the heart. And one of the things that we have done a very poor job at, especially for our men, is helping them understand that this is an incredible adventure that God gives us the privilege to be a part of. I mean, when you think about the God of the universe, the God who holds every atom together, the, you know, every heartbeat, every breath, every molecule under his command, and he allows us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. He made it possible. He draws us in, and he engages us in that process. And part of that is what he does in and through our family. I mean, it's an incredible miracle as God works in our hearts and the hearts of our kids and passes on this generational legacy. And so I think we've done a poor job of really exalting to in front of fathers how incredible the opportunity that God's given them really is and what a priority it should be in their life.
What would you say to the dad who says, you know, this sounds all well and good, I have not been doing this at all? What kind of encouragement could you give to the dad that says, you know what, I need to get started?
Well, I'd say one of the most helpful things would be that you don't have to do a lot more. You just need to do what you're doing differently. It doesn't take much to start this.
Right.
It just takes showing some love to your kids, an extra hug, an extra handshake, a pat on the back, a word of affirmation, I love you, I'm proud of you, encouragement to say, you know, you really did a good job, or I really love the way that you are selfless when you played that game, or when you helped that person who is sick, or whatever it is, things that encourage our children's hearts to love God and others.
Well, as we said before, kids who don't get both unconditional love and structure end up with an affirmation deficit, so says Pat Morley and David Delk. An affirming father makes sure his children feel his unconditional love. No force in the world has more power, and I think you've conveyed that so well today. I've got a bunch more questions. Can I hold you on the line, and can we talk next time more about being the right kind of dad in the mirror?
I would love it. Thank you.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with David Delk here on the Homeward Broadcast, president of Man in the Mirror Ministries and co-author along with Patrick Morley of The Man in the Mirror. We've also written a book called The Dad in the Mirror. And our theme today, seeing your heart for God reflected in your kids. If you want to learn more about these resources, by the way, you can always Google them. You can go to homeward.com, check our radio broadcast section. You'll find David's name is hotkeyed today. You just click on his name and it takes you right to that site. Jim, there are some dads who are listening to us right now. I want to focus on them because they're probably thinking, you know, I want to do right by my kids, but I didn't get a great example from my own dad growing up. What word of encouragement do you have for that dad in that situation?
I'd say relax. Most dads today really didn't get a lot of modeling in this area from their own fathers, so don't beat yourself up over it. I mean, it's a process. Instead, you've got to be the transitional generation. And to resolve that, starting today, right now, you're going to have to be the kind of dad that gives your kids security and strength and actually a spiritual heritage. And by doing that, you become the transitional generation. And it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. Here's three tips. First of all, communicate with your kids. That means that you'll need to spend time with them. Remember that kids view your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. Now, they don't always say that to you, especially as they get older. You'll need to listen to them. You'll need to ask them lots of questions because they're probably not going to be willing to open up to you at first. So you communicate with your kids. Be patient. Be consistent and start to establish better lines of communication with your kids. And that's all about growing that relationship with them. Secondly, is display affection with your kids. And we've been talking with dads today and about dads. Obviously, moms do this a little bit better. But if your dad was not the hugging type and didn't hug you, well, then I'm saying you have to become the hugging type. Now, if you're not mushy, don't be mushy. Don't fake it. But the fact is that your kids need your genuine affection. So touch them when appropriate. Give them hugs when appropriate. Use loving words. Lots of hugs and high fives, I like to say. And if you have a daughter, well, remember, sexual promiscuity in teenage girls can often be traced back to a lack of affection from their father. So take this seriously. Third is have fun with your kids. Family time is one of the major building blocks for a happy family. And when, Dad, you get involved with this, well, your kids have even much more fun. And it's just a part of being a good family. I mean, who wants a family that is filled with lots of tension and lots of problems all the time? So fun really does help kids make right and wise decisions about their life, interestingly enough. Well, those are just a few of the ways that you as a dad can build upon this relationship with your kids where they can really begin to see your heart for God.
And that's important for us as dads because our kids are paying a lot more attention to what we're doing than what we're saying. And if we go into dad dump and all we do is lecture all the time, then you've heard during the past half hour examples of why that does not work and why that's not effective. Homeward is here to help encourage and equip dads and encourage and equip moms and grandparents, any adult who speaks into the life of young people. We have resources for you, our online daily devotional, our Good Advice Parent newsletter, the Homeward Culture Brief. Those three resources alone will help transform the way you look at parenting. Jim's book, Confident Parenting, is a great resource to have if you want to bolster your confidence in areas that you're probably doing a good job in, but you just don't think you're doing a good job in. You can order a copy of Confident Parenting directly from Homeward, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Take care of that transaction online at homeward.com or call 800-397-9725. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.